The spice seller's shop separated in another part of the church, the garden in yet another, and thus, before long, as more and more characters and scenes were added, it became impractical to use the church alone. And this healthy, fast-growing child of the church tumbled out into the churchyard, and the plays were performed before the church doors. The next step seems to be an expansion of the repertoire, as the Christmas story is similarly developed, including real animals, an ox and ass, and a larger-than-life characterization of Herod. More Bible stories followed, and though the church was still firmly in control, once outside the building and context of a church service, the vernacular tongue starts to compete with the Latin text. By the 14th century, the inevitable happens. The church, whilst happy to bless the endeavours which had proved over the years a successful means of reminding the populace of their spiritual responsibilities, withdrew its active involvement in the drama, whose attractions were proving too tempting for some of the minor clergy who had initially played all the parts. So the plays took to the streets and became the property of the people, performed by them and for them. It may be that over the years the Bible stories have become too secularized, too bawdy for the clergy, perhaps even at times suggesting a whiff of paganism. Certainly ever since, the church has had a mistrust of, or even hostility towards, its wayward offspring. So the organization and running of these early dramas passed to the guilds, collective bodies of local tradesmen and craftsmen, in 1311, when the Feast of Corpus Christi was established specifically for the performing of these plays. By 1376, the individual Bible stories have been collected into cycles, from the creation of the world through to the fall and redemption of man, and were known as mysteries. From ministerium, or service. In France, they were mystère. In Italy, sacre rappresentazione. In Germany, Passionsspiel. But fundamentally, they all developed along similar lines. Only in England, however, were the plays performed as cycles, and they proliferated. Chester, York, Coventry, Norwich, all had their own. There are also texts of a cycle in Cornish. The Feast of Corpus Christi takes place in May or June, when the weather is more settled and daylight hours long. This was necessary, for by the early 16th century, in York, for instance, whole cycles were being performed in one day, as many as 50 plays. They began at dawn and continued until midnight. The stamina of the actors and audience must have been phenomenal. Records show that plenty of ale was consumed on these days. The performers were now the people of the towns, the ordinary folk, though women were still not allowed to act. They took enormous pride in their annual pageant and rehearsed diligently for many hours, beginning as early as 4:30 in the morning. The guilds paid for the costumes and scenery, which could be quite elaborate, and supplied the main actors. Good players, well arrayed and openly speaking. And although there was no competition, as in the days of Athens, there was a healthy competitiveness between the individual guilds, each one being responsible for one play in the cycle, usually with a link to their specific trade. Thus the story of Noah will be the property of the shipwrights, the crucifixion of Christ, the nail makers, the Three Kings play, the prerogative of the goldsmiths, Jonah and the whale, that of the fishmongers, and so on. These plays were unquestionably sincere expressions of faith, but one can't help thinking they were also a great business opportunity, giving a never-to-be-repeated chance for product placement. Taking the idea from the church of separate acting areas for the individual scenes, the plays were performed on specially constructed carts or platforms. Sometimes they were static, and sometimes, as in England and Flanders, they were on wheels and drawn through the streets.